Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Folks, you're welcome back to Talk From The Terrace on Celtic Fanzine TV. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you'll never miss an episode. And I'm joined today by the one and only Mr. John Hartson. It's been over a year since we spoke, John. We had you on the Celtic Soul podcast. How have you been?
I've been good. I've had quite a hectic year, really. I had a little bereavement in the family, which was not very nice. I also had the big knee construction, a knee replacement, if you like, which kept me out of a few things. But I'm healthy, Andy. You know, I'm healthy. My children are good, enjoying life in Edinburgh. I've just been working a little bit with ITV Sport for the Euros. I really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed the co-coms there. So, like everybody else now, looking forward to the new season. But no, thank you for asking. Everything is very good.
Yeah, the Euros have been really good, John. I know Wales bowed out after the first round, after the group stages, but they done okay and they can be proud of themselves.
Yeah, we did do okay. You know, when you think that we haven't qualified for a major tournament for 58 years and then we went back-to-back, you know, Euros after Euros, which was a good, accomplishment by the players. We never quite got to the semi-final like we did in France in 2016. But we did ever so well to get out of a competitive group, Turkey, Italy and Switzerland. We finished second to Italy in the group. So, and unfortunately, we weren't strong enough to beat Denmark, who, of course, you know, play England tomorrow evening at Wembley. So they're a better team than what people give them credit for. You know, obviously, you know, Christian Eriksen as well. I think everybody breathed a huge sigh of relief when we saw him get carried off by his the Denmark players, and we saw him sit up and I feared the worst, Andrew. I've got to be honest, I really feared the worst when I saw the paramedics give him CPR by the side of the pitch, and you saw his body jumping up and down off the ground, and the players were crying, the supporters were crying, and I thought, oh no, I hope this is not what a lot of people think it is. But you know, they went out eventually and played the game, and they obviously got beat that game. I'm not too sure whether I'd him to go out on that same night personally and perform. But obviously, I think the relief of seeing Christian alive and sitting up in the hospital, that would have probably urged the Denmark players to go and face their opponents that night. I think it was Finland?
Yes, the first one, yeah.
Yeah, they lost that game eventually to Finland. But, I think the result was irrelevant. I think the bigger point was Christian Eriksen's health. I'm just delighted that he's come through and he's getting stronger all the time now.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you are doing a bit for national television, well, ITV. You done a little bit of media last year, John. Not as much as we would have expected, because you had Denis, and of course you had bereavement, and condolences to you once again. But just before we look forward to the season, when we look back at last season, how hard was it, John? From, you know, you were a player. You played with Lenny. You're in the media. You have to try and, you know, be critical when you have to be, and but you're also a Celtic fan. So was it very hard to, I suppose, be honest to yourself and to the viewers?
Well, I think what I've always tried to be is honest. That's all you can be. All you can do is give your views. You know, my view doesn't mean any more than a supporter's view, because I played the game, and you get a little bit of respect for that. But still, you know, supporters are very knowledgeable. They feel they have a right to sometimes vent their anger and vent their frustrations. And I'm exactly the same. And, you know, I think that I was quite balanced over the whole piece. I don't want to talk too much about last season, because I think we all know, you know, what went wrong. It was a pretty disastrous season, in such a fantastic opportunity as well, an unprecedented potential 10 in a row at stake. But we, you know, we failed on all fronts, you know, right from the beginning, going out to the Champions League qualifier to Ferencvaros, and then some poor performances in the Europa League, and then not beating Rangers over the course of playing them six times. That's not happened for a long time, and eventually losing the league by 25 points. It was pretty much, I think it probably come to a shock to everybody as much as myself, really. Nobody expected that. So the club have made the change. We've got a new man in charge, you know, and I think everybody's pretty excited about the new season. I think Postecoglou has come in, Ange Postecoglou, and he looks, you know, he got a bit of desire about him. I think he's the type of guy that he looks like he knows what he wants out of his players. I think he's there's a lot more to come from him, because they. New managers, they don't want to give everything away in the first couple of weeks. They want to get to know the players better, and they want to know what type of players that he can put the arm around, what type of players will accept the rollicking, what type of players, you know, you can talk to honestly. Martin O'Neill didn't care what type of player you were. He just told you as it was, and you dealt with it, you know. But as I said, it's an exciting time. I still expect a few more signings. I expect another five or six to come in the door, and I'm expecting three or four to leave. That's how I see it right now. This, you know, the first game is coming up on the We Play Hearts on the 31st of July, and then the big one then away to Rangers on the 29th of August. So the games are coming thick and fast. Champions League qualifiers, play Mucheland in less than 2 weeks, so the lads need to get up to speed, and it's a big challenge for Ange. I've got to say that it's a huge challenge for him.
Yeah, I think like everybody is behind him. It was a long time coming for a manager's appointment after the whole Eddie Howe saga, and it was great to have him in. He's met with the media, he's met with the fan media, he's met with the players. He's on pre-season now, so everything is in place. As you say, you're expecting signings. I think we all are. We're also expecting a few players out the door, because if the manager from last year is to be believed, there was a handful wanted away. But that Champions League game just comes so soon, John. And normally we are seeded. Normally we have a warm-up game. It could be against the, you know. We went to Gibraltar when Brendan Rodgers had his first game. Okay, he was beaten, but he knew he was going to win the second leg. And this is a really tough task for, you know, not only a new manager, but a new man to Glasgow.
Yeah, it is. And it's so important that we try and get through these qualifiers. They're not easy games, as you know, shown before. I think when I was there, we went out to Basel of Switzerland. We lost to... Bratislava as well. We lost to them. We nearly pulled it back. We lost 5-0 away and beat them 4-0 in the home game. So if you're not ready, you know, if you're not ready to go, then, you know, you can get hurt. You won't get the right result. So I'm sure the new manager, Postecoglou, Ange, is trying to get everybody up to speed as quick as he can without overworking them, trying to get the new players in, you know, involved, the two lads we've signed, Liam Shaw and Euro Hyde from Sheffield Wednesday. Two young lads, both 20 years of age. You know, they both look decent. They're from decent club like Sheffield Wednesday, played in the Championship last season down in England. So he's trying to blood them two into the team, trying to get them to know their new teammates. He'll be relying on one or two other senior players as well, you know, like Edouard, for instance. I'm not quite sure what he will do with the ones who are with the Euros. You know, some other players that obviously were with the national teams. So, you know, I'm fairly excited about the beginning of the season to see how we go. But there's no doubt about it for me, Andrew. The biggest thing that the manager has to do, and now he'll know this, he's an experienced manager. He's managed Australia, you know, he's managed a top side in Japan. He's managed with the younger ages as well, with Australia, been successful. And he'll know this, that the biggest challenge he has is to go and win football matches. And to win matches, you need good players. Now, the players last year just simply weren't good enough. And he needs to have a look at that. He needs to see who he wants on board with him, who he wants to take along with him. It won't be an easy season. It'll be difficult to claw back that lead. Rangers will start favourites. I have no doubt about that, because they've got that little bit of momentum. They'll be feeling good about themselves. So he needs to know what he needs. In my opinion, I think he needs a bit of experience in that side. He needs some experience. You know, there's some still young players in there. And of course, I know you've got the boys I've just mentioned there, like Lee Griffiths, like you know, Callum McGregor, like one or two others, you know, who've got a bit of experience, but they need a bit of help, you know, and I would like to see four or five come in with that little bit of experience. You know, you look at the Rangers side, you know, Goldson played in the Premier League, Stephen Davis played in the Premier League, Jermaine Defoe in the Premier League, Scott Arfield Premier League, you know, their goalkeeper, McGregor, Premier League, Alan McGregor. So they seem to have a lot of experience, and that can certainly help. And I feel that Celtic, although they went on this brilliant run of 9 consecutive leagues, I still feel as if experience is key, because it can help one or two of the younger players that are coming through there at Celtic. And I think that's what Ange needs to be looking for. Quality players. You know, quality players. I know he's been linked with Kevin Nisbet for Hibs. Kevin Nisbet played most of his career in Scotland for the lower leagues. I think he got 14 goals last season, 14 league goals. So, you know, is that a signing? Does that tell you something about Edouard? If he goes and gets another signing, he's got Ayeti. He's got Griffiths, who's just extended his deal by another year. He's got Edouard and Nisbet. You know, he won't want to pay £4.5 million for him and not play him. So, you know, there's an awful lot to look at. And I just hope that, you know, he can get his team set up, get some work done for them, get their shape on the pitch in terms of which way they're going to play. Are they going to play a diamond? Are they going to play 4-3-3? Are they going to play 3 at the back? Stick with a goalkeeper. Don't chop and change too much, which I think was a common fault last season. I think we chopped and changed far too much, rather than sticking with, you know, a team that, you know, you can trust and go out there and play these players on a consistent basis. not change the formation, not change the system week in, week out. Sometimes that's because of injuries and suspensions, but you know, I would like to see him stick with a certain team, a certain system, get the players to work within that system, and obviously we need a good start.
Yeah, and you mentioned Lee Griffiths there. I noticed on Twitter last week you said that
you don't listen to Twitter. Do
well,
you?
I go on occasionally, John. I'm not. I don't be on it too much now. But I do follow you on it, and okay. you did say that Lee would get 25 goals. Now, I'm presuming you mean if he's in the team, because he's well capable of 25 goals in the SPL.
Well, you don't become a bad player overnight. Now, Lee Griffiths is on, I think he's on 121 goals. He's, you know, he hemorrhages goals. And if he's given the game time, I believe he's having a really good pre-season. I believe he's come back in better shape, fitter than what he was last season, which he couldn't make any excuses up for that. But I think if Lee gets himself fit and the manager plays him and he keeps hold of Edouard, which is a long shot, we don't really know what's happening with Edouard, whether he will stay home, he stays. But my guess is somebody will come in with a decent bid and he'll be gone. I'm only guessing, given my view. I think if Lee plays all the games, 45 games consistently, and he's sharp, he's capable of scoring all them goals. Now, the problem with Lee is, will he stay sharp? Will the manager bring him out? Will he keep himself fit? Will he keep himself in top condition? Only he knows that. And when I went out and said that I'm expecting Lee to score 25 goals next season, Lee Griffiths is more than capable of doing that. He's only 31 years of age. He's not old. He can get himself sharp. He can keep himself fit. And if he plays the games, then he's more than capable of scoring that many goals. I don't think anybody can disagree with that. The only issue everybody's got, and I've got it as well, is that if he doesn't play for reasons outside of football, you know, like maybe if he doesn't fit into Ange's criteria. But I hope he does, because, you know, he's been a fantastic player for Celtic over the years. And he's getting older now, isn't he? You know, one thing, Andrew, we all do as we get older, we get a bit wiser. You know, you get a bit wiser to people, you get a bit wiser to how you live your life. You get a bit wiser to everything. That's the one thing about getting a little bit older. You start to mature and realise that, you know, I'm not going to be playing football forever. You know, I need to make the most of what I've got left. And I really hope that, you know, he starts the season and he knuckles down, because he's a fantastic goal scorer, Lee. There's no doubt about that. And I think a lot of the stick that I got back, and, you know, people saying, oh, I don't know what you're talking about and this, that and the other. Well, you know, that's my opinion. You know, you've got an opinion, I've got an opinion. My opinion shouldn't matter any more than you. That's what Twitter's about. Twitter's a load of nonsense. You know, Twitter is just like, you know, it's a game, isn't it? There's so many pedantic people on Twitter. It's just ridiculous. But we keep going on it. We keep getting sucked into it.
Well, if you're still playing, man, I need to be telling you to come off it.
Oh, what, Martin? Yeah, Martin's on Instagram. You know that. I thought I'd never see the day. Martin's on Instagram.
What's that all about?
Oh, unbelievable. I know. There we are. He wants to keep up with the Joneses, I think, Martin.
So, man, and like you just mentioned Eddie there. It does, you know, everybody feels it, that, you know, he's far to going. He's far leaving. You know, I seen him heading off in pre-season on the TV, and you're kind of going, I'd love to hold on to him, especially now with, you know, if he was going to go two up top with him and Griffiths, because the form was really good before the pandemic hit. And just, you know, we just can't keep going back to last season, because it was a disaster. But I do think, John, that the Champions League qualifying section, even if we were to beat Midland, it would give us immense confidence. But it's going to be a tough, you know, there's three really tough two-legged encounters to get there. And I think, you know, he'll certainly be the one that will be probably of the most value, maybe with Ayer as well. And they would say, I would certainly think that they would be off if we didn't qualify for the Champions League.
Well, yeah, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, do we? You know, we all thought Eddie Howe, you know, that didn't work out as we all thought. Everybody was saying he's getting announced on Monday. He's been announced 18 times. He never once was he announced.
No.
You know, I don't even know how late it was before he started having talks. And I'm hearing different things of why it broke down and everything else. And you don't really know because we're not party to them conversations. And was it because of maybe he wanted to bring in his own staff? Was it because he was told he could only sign certain players? Well, you know, we're not really in them discussions. I've heard one or two things, the reasons why he never took it. But again, you know, in terms of Edward and Christopher Ayer, you know, I think it was common knowledge last season, maybe Christopher Ayer was, you know, with a year left on his contract, it would be viable for the club to sell him because in 6 months' time he can leave freedom of contract. He's available to speak to other clubs, and he could potentially leave for nothing. Whereas if you get a 10 or 12 or whatever million-pound bid for him now, you know, I know you lose a good player, but the club has to work that way. Can't afford to lose that type of money. And it's the same with Edward. You know, Edward's just felt his head got a little bit turned last season, and he never really started performing until, you know, late on after Christmas. And he's still got a bag full of goals because he's always going to get goals. But you just think with Edward, we would love to keep him. But, you know, I think that, again, if the right money comes in for him, you know, I think he was almost persuaded last season, look, give us another year, because I think with you, we stand a great chance of obviously creating history and winning the league. It didn't happen. So you don't know where that leaves him now in terms of, you know, as his agent said, look, stay for a year last season. And then next season, then we'll see what happens again. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to. My honest view is that 4 or 5 more will come in, and we might just need to use the funds of a couple of players, you know, to go and buy them players and to give Ange a little bit of a pot of the money. Now, I know the Champions League makes a difference as well, but if you're set your heart on leaving and your agents are looking for clubs for you, then I'm not too sure, you know, whether you could say, well, I'll stay for 6 games. I'll try and get us through to the Champions League. By then, the window would have shut. I just think if these players want to go and they've got aspirations of going elsewhere, they don't want to commit to Celtic, then I think they should be looking to sell them. You know, that's my view. You want players at the club that are gonna buy into what the manager wants, gonna buy into what type of work and system he wants to play. And you need to stick to that, and you need to be committed to it. You know, it's not a club that, you know, we can't just rest on our laurels, Celtic. You know, I think a massive reaction is needed, you know, to try and claw back the title back to Celtic Park. We've been used to winning. We're not used to not winning. Everybody's wants to get back to that way. And you want players that are fully committed. I'm not saying Edward and Ayer aren't, but if they aren't, then, you know, things need to be done about that, because one way or another, they're two big players. So their futures need to be sorted.
I do indeed, John. John, thank you so much for coming on to the show, and don't leave it another year before you come back to talk to us. And hopefully, John, now with the old vaccines in our arms, that we'll get back to meeting in the flesh instead of through Zoom and WhatsApping each other. So, just once again, John, thank you so much.
All right, Andy, look after yourself. Give my best to the family, mate. All the best.
And you too, John. Thank you.
Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.